Today, the week the world changed. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news, and this is our weekly market update. And this week, well, I think will mark a critical turning point across markets as the higher for longer mantra finally took root on sticky inflation fears. Geopolitical tensions flared, and the first flush of the first quarter US results highlighted pressures on earnings ahead. All this drove a flight to the safest corners of the market, such as bonds and the dollar, while equities fell. Oil rallied, but Wall Street's fear gauge, the VIX, spiked to levels last seen in October, with a surge of around 16%. It's hard to unpick the prime reasons for the falls, but US equities had their worst day since January. At the report that Israel was bracing for an attack by Iran on government targets certainly didn't help. US President Joe Biden said he expects Iran will attack Israel sooner rather than later, and his message to Iran is don't do it. A direct confrontation between Israel and Iran would, of course, mean a significant escalation of the Middle East conflict and could lead to a significant rise in oil prices, according to Commerzbank. Escalating geopolitical tensions also included attacks on Russian energy infrastructure by Ukraine, and that spurred bullish activity in the oil options markets. And there's been also elevated buying of call options, which profit when prices rise in recent days, with implied volatility jumping. Also, investors have pushed back their expectations for the start of the Fed's easing cycle as March non-farm payrolls crushed expectations and US inflation climbed to 3.5%, up from 3.2%, and above the forecast of 3.4%. The markets have lowered the odds of a June cut to just 24% compared to 54% a week ago, and a September cut was priced in at 91% a week ago, but has now dropped to 72%, according to the CME FedWatch tool. Fed members are sounding hawkish, and the markets have slashed rate cut expectations. Fed Bank of Boston President Susan Collins reiterated she sees no urgency to cut rates in the near term, given elevated inflation and the resilience of the labor market. And her Chicago counterpart, Austin Goosby, repeated that housing inflation will need to come back down in order for overall prices to cool to the central bank's target. Meantime, banks' results offer the latest window on just how the US economy is faring amid an interest rate trajectory muddied by those persistent inflation fears, as JP Morgan Chase and Wells Fargo both reported net interest income that missed estimates amid increasing funding costs. Citigroup's profit topped forecasts as corporates tapped markets for financing and consumers leaned on credit cards, signs that a prolonged period of elevated interest rates will benefit large lenders. Many economic indicators continue to be favorable. However, looking ahead, we remain alert to a number of significant uncertain forces, JP Morgan's chief executive Jamie Dimon said. He cited the wars, growing geopolitical tensions, persistent inflationary pressures, and the effects of quantitative tightening. And the latest economic data did little to alter the reduced risk. The Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index fell to 77.9 in April from 79.4% a month earlier, missing forecasts of 79. And the data also showed that the one-year inflation expectations and five-year expectations rose to 3.1% and 3% respectively, piling on worries about higher for longer interest rates. So all up, MSCI's gauge of stocks around the globe was last down 1.2%. That's the biggest one-day drop in 6 months, dragged down by US performance. Wall Street's main indices all slumped well over 1%, with the S&P 500 posting its biggest one-day drop since January the 31st. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 1.24% to 37,983. The S&P 500 lost 1.46% to 5,123. And the Nasdaq Composite lost 1.62% to 16,175. The health of the banking sector is often used as a measure of the strength of the economy as a whole, and uncertainty over the Fed's interest rate outlook hangs over the first quarter earnings season as a whole. Analysts expect S&P 500 companies in aggregate to report earnings up by 5% in the first quarter from a year earlier. That's a sharp drop from the 10.1% growth seen in the fourth quarter of 2023. JP Morgan Chase stock fell more than 6% after the banking giant reported more than $13 billion of profit in the first quarter and nearly $42 billion in revenue, both better than expected. But its average customer deposits fell, and it warned of higher expenses in the future. JP Morgan also disclosed a fall in the so-called net interest income. That's the closely watched financial metric that essentially measures how much money is being made from lending. Wells Fargo dropped 0.3% despite beating revenue expectations, as the lender reported softer than expected net interest income as well. And Citigroup fell more than 2% despite reporting quarterly results that beat on both the top and bottom lines amid signs that turnaround efforts are bearing fruit. First quarter profit fell 27% though, as the bank took charges relating to its reorganization, although it beat expectations as revenues grew in key divisions. Most of the layoffs were conducted in the first quarter, generating an expected $1.5 billion of cost savings, CEO Jane Fraser told analysts in a conference call. Additional cuts could save as much as $2.5 billion a year in the medium term. But wealth management, a key area in Citi's strategy, fell 4% in revenue in the quarter to $1.7 billion. The economy will be in focus in the coming weeks too, as first quarter earnings heats up with reports from Netflix, Bank of America, and Procter & Gamble, amongst many others. A monthly US retail sales figures are out on Monday, and that'll offer a view into US consumer behavior on the heels of the stronger than expected inflation report that we got this week. The dollar index gained 0.69% and hit its highest level in over 5 months, but the euro was down 0.76%. Treasuries rallied sharply on Friday, following the market's worst 2 days since February, in which yields reached year-to-date highs after inflation readings savaged expectations for Federal Reserve interest rate cuts this year. Two-year yields, which briefly topped 5% earlier in the week, plunged on Friday to 4.894, while the yield on the benchmark US 10-year notes fell to 4.523% from 4.576% late on Thursday. Oil prices settled higher on Friday, with geopolitical tensions and the potential for supply disruption in focus. US crude settled up 0.51% at $85.47 a barrel, while Brent settled at $90.21 a barrel, up 0.46% on the day. The International Energy Agency cut its forecast for oil demand growth this year by around 100,000 barrels per day to 1.2 million barrels per day in its latest monthly report, which was released on Friday. And the number of oil rigs operating in the US fell by 2 to 506, according to data from the energy services firm Baker Hughes, pointing to further signs that the jump in oil prices is yet to meaningfully encourage drillers to step up activity amid concerns about demand. US energy shares are soaring, though, as investors benefit from those rising oil prices and a stronger than expected economy, while seeking to protect their portfolios from a feared resurgence of inflation. The S&P 500 energy sector is up about 17% in 2024, roughly doubling the broader indices' year-to-date returns. Its gain has accelerated in recent weeks, making it the S&P 500's best-performing sector in the past month. One key driver is the price of oil, with US crude up 20% year to date due to the unexpectedly strong US economy and worries about a broadening Middle East conflict. If the threat of a disruption to global supplies doesn't materialize, though, the bears will likely emerge from hiding in the second half of the year, according to Macquarie. Gold futures lost 0.53% on Friday to $2,360 an ounce, taking a breather after rising above $2,400 per ounce. That's an all-time high. The surge in the price of gold and other precious metals again can be attributed to geopolitical tensions, economic uncertainties, and also central bank buying sprees. Concerns over the global economic slowdown, especially in China, have further propelled the demand for gold. Central banks, including the People's Bank of China and Vietnam's Central Bank, have increased their gold reserves to stabilize their holdings against potential economic upheaval. This trend of central bank buying, particularly in emerging markets, has been a significant factor in the rising gold prices. The People's Bank of China, for instance, has consistently increased its gold reserves, signaling a shift away from dollar assets and towards more stable investments in the face of global uncertainties. The surge in gold prices has not gone unnoticed by retailers also, with Costco Wholesale Core reporting sales of up to $200 million worth of gold bars and silver coins each month. The company offers 1 ounce, 24 karat gold bars and has increased the maximum purchase limit from 2 to 5 bars per customer, reflecting strong consumer demand and bullish market sentiment. The question, of course, remains whether this upward trend will persist. Now, over in Europe, the UK economy looks set to shortly exit its recession after output grew for a second month in a row in February, and January's reading was revised higher. Gross domestic product expanded by 0.1% in monthly terms in February, according to the Office of National Statistics. While January's reading was revised to show growth of 0.3% up from 0.2% earlier, Britain fell into recession in the second half of last year, but the first quarter of 2024 is likely to show some growth as the three-month average growth rate rose to 0.2% in February from 0 in January. That's the highest such reading since August last year. This data could reinforce the Bank of England's cautious tone around the prospect of interest rate cuts. However, any growth in the first half of the year is still likely to be extremely tepid. The FTSE was up 0.91% on Friday to 7,995. Ben Bernanke's report, released on Friday after a nine-month review, called on the Bank of England to consider publishing its own outlook for UK interest rates, part of a sweeping review expected to prompt once-in-a-generation overhauls of how the central bank makes and communicates its forecasts. The former US Federal Reserve Chair said the Bank of England should release scenarios that show the best path for meeting the 2% inflation target if market rates or unchanged policies confuse its messaging. The suggestion came alongside two separate recommendations that Bernanke made in an 86-page review into the way the Bank of England delivers its economic outlook. While the review said that the Bank of England's forecast during the recent inflation shock were no worse than those of other central banks, it added that the infrastructure that underpins the projections is in urgent need of an upgrade. The report said that the Bank of England should scrap the fan charts that have been at the heart of its policy making for more than two decades. The European Central Bank maintained its deposit rate at 4% for the fifth straight time on Thursday, as expected. Interest rates remain at record levels, but Lagarde & Co. provided fresh hints the policymakers are looking to drop rates at the June meeting. Eurozone inflation has dropped to 2.4%. That's closer to the 2% target, and the economy is barely growing. ECB members, including those with more hawkish views, have been hinting at a June rate cut. The ECB statement echoed this view, saying that if confidence increases that inflation is moving towards the target in a sustainable manner, then a rate cut would be appropriate. At a press conference, ECB President Lagarde noted that several members had voted in favour of a rate cut on Thursday. Lagarde added that the ECB could make a cut even if inflation remained above 2%, if the ECB was confident that inflation was moving in the right direction, and also drew back from connections to what was going on in the US a bit, which was quite interesting. The euro has fallen 1.7% this week as the dollar continues to flex its muscles against the major currencies. With dovish noises continuing to emerge from the European Central Bank after it held rates unchanged, and with the UK remaining fragile and inflation in the US still elevated, it looks like the Federal Reserve is going to lead the race over which central bank is the last to cut. Currently, traders expect an ECB cut in June, a Bank of England easing in August, and a federal reduction in September, but that may be later than expected. Most Asian stocks fell on Friday, tracking overnight declines on Wall Street after that hotter-than-expected US inflation data eroded bets on early interest rate cuts by the Federal Reserve. Inflation data from China also showed that Asia's largest economy remains stuck in a sustained deflationary trend, further denting sentiment. China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite Indices fell 0.81% and 0.49% respectively, after data showed that China's consumer price index inflation shrank more than expected in March, while a decline in producer price index inflation continued as a long-running deflationary trend showed little signs of improvement. CPI inflation shrank 1% month over month in March, more than expected, for a drop of 0.5% and reversing the course from the 1% growth seen the previous month, according to data from the National Bureau of Statistics. CPI grew 0.1% year over year, missing expectations for growth of 0.4% and slowing substantially from the 0.7% seen in February. While consumer spending saw some support in February on the Lunar New Year holiday, Thursday's data showed that this boost was short-lived. The outlook for China's economy still remained dour, as overall consumer spending remained stuck in nearly a four-year slump. The country saw a sustained deflationary trend through to the second half of 2023 as a post-COVID economic recovery largely failed to materialize. This was particularly evident in weak factory gate prices, with PPI inflation falling 2.8% year on year as expected, worsening from a 2.7% contraction seen in February. The drop also showed that PPI inflation fell for the 18th consecutive month. The drop in PPI inflation comes despite some improvement in manufacturing activity over the past month, as shown by positive Purchase Managers Index data for March. Sustained monetary stimulus from Beijing has so far provided only limited support to the Chinese economy, which is indeed struggling with a prolonged slowdown in the property market, once a major growth engine for the country. Weak economic conditions also suppressed consumer spending, another key driver of the Chinese economy, as consumers tightened their wallets in the face of increased unemployment. And floods, droughts, an earthquake and freezing conditions in China also caused direct economic losses of around 23.76 billion yuan, which is around 3.28 billion US dollars in the first quarter, according to a report on Saturday. The Emergency Management Ministry cited damage from several cold spells, a 7.1 magnitude earthquake in the northwestern region of Zhejiang, landslides in Zhejiang province in the southwest, and flooding on the Yellow River. Fitch Ratings cut its outlook on China's credit rating to negative, citing increased risks from high government debt and slowing growth. The ratings agency also said that deflation posed a major risk to the Chinese economy. And China's March exports contracted sharply, while imports also unexpectedly shrank, both undershooting market forecasts by big margins, according to customs data that was released on Friday, highlighting the stiff task facing policymakers as they try to bolster a shaky economic recovery. Shipments from China slumped 7.5% year-on-year last month, marking the biggest fall since August last year. They'd risen 7.1% in the January to February period. And the China Beige Book survey said that the recent improvements in business conditions, including better corporate revenue, profit, and capital spending, were more of a return to mediocre from genuinely poor. The economy is likely to grow around 4.6% in the first quarter of the year, the slowest in a year despite signs of stabilization. China last month set a full-year growth target of around 5%, which analysts have described ambitious, as they noted that last year's 5.2% expansion came off a COVID hitter back in 2022. Some analysts say the central bank faces a challenge as more credit is flowing to production than to consumption, exposing structural flaws in the economy and reducing the effectiveness of its monetary policy tools. And on the fiscal front, China plans to spend about 1 trillion yuan in special ultra-long-term treasury bonds to support key areas. And it also raised a 2024 special bond issuance quota for local governments to 3.9 trillion yuan from 3.8 trillion yuan in 2023. Losses in mainland stocks also dragged Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index down 2.18% on Friday, largely reversing gains made earlier in the week on the back of a rally in tech stocks. Japan's Nikkei 225 rose 0.31%, along with the TOPIX, which was last at 2,758, supported by strength in major exporters. But uncertainty over potential government intervention to support the yen also dented sentiment towards Japanese markets. Japanese yen actually firmed 0.02% against the dollar in a rebound after hitting a 34-year low during the day as investors watched for signs of intervention from Tokyo officials. South Korea's KOSPI fell 0.93%, while Indian markets were closed for a holiday on Friday. Still, the Nifty 50 hit a record high earlier in the week on Wednesday. Australia's share markets ended Friday's session lower as traders continued to wind back interest rate cut hopes from the world's largest central bank. The S&P ASX 200 closed down 0.33% to 7,788, trimming its weekly advance to just 0.3%. Shares had another rough ride over the last week as higher-than-expected US inflation saw expectations for Federal Reserve rate cuts pushed further out and reduced, said AMP's chief economist Shane Oliver. Uncertainty remains high regarding the timing of rate cuts, recession risks remain high, and there are multiple geopolitical threats, particularly around the war in the Middle East and the US election. On the ASX, 8 of the 11 sectors entered the session lower. The benchmark was dragged down by heavyweight BHP, which fell 0.9% to $45.52. Consumer staples were the worst performing sector, though, down 0.9%, led by a 1% decline from supermarket giants Coles and Woolworths. Energy stocks also fell, led by Woodside Energy, which was down 1.3% to $30.20. On Thursday, the energy giant's most vocal superannuation fund investor, Hester, said it would vote to re-elect the oil and gas giant's chairman, Richard Goyder, despite a push from environmental advocates to remove him from the board. Pizza franchise Domino's dropped 7.5% to $4.17 after fronting investors with a strategy update aimed at improving its struggling overseas operations. In corporate developments, embattled casino operator The Star Entertainment Group fell 7.3% to 50.5 cents after recording steep drops in revenue from gaming rooms across the country. And Cetaar slipped 6.9% to $3.12 after strong preliminary sales figures in the third quarter failed to tempt investors back to the online fashion retailer. And Boral's board backed a revised bid from Seven Group, significantly increasing the chances of the Stokes-controlled Seven buying the Australian cement maker. Boral was 1.5% higher at $6.12 and Seven Group was largely flat at $40.07. The banks were weaker, with CPA at 116.24, ANZ at 28.95, NAB at 34.15, and Westpac at 26.02. Macquarie was at 189.77. And in crypto, Bitcoin rose this week. It was last at 67,195, down 5.18% though, having been bolstered by the unexpected rise in the US inflation rate and positive data about the Bitcoin exchange traded funds market, which recorded net inflows of $90.4 million earlier in the week. Also, in a move that has sparked interest in the cryptocurrency industry, 5,000 Bitcoins worth around $351 million was mysteriously transferred between wallets. The transaction involved a Bitcoin whale. That's a term used to describe holders of large amounts of cryptocurrency who moved the substantial sum to another whale's wallet. The true motive behind the transfer remains a mystery. Whether this is a prelude to a larger market development, simply a routine transfer, or an OTC transaction that occurs outside of the crypto exchange is yet to be determined. Traders now anticipate considerable price stability for Bitcoin in the next few weeks of April, especially in the light of the upcoming Bitcoin halving event. Between April the 18th and April 21st, Bitcoin mining rewards will be reduced to 3.125 Bitcoins from 6.25 Bitcoins. Halving, this is a technical event which occurs on the Bitcoin network approximately every 4 years, reduces the cryptocurrency's supply by half, resulting in scarcity. Historically, it marks the start of a new cycle and bull run, but this one appears slightly different. What distinguishes this halving is that Bitcoin has already eclipsed the high of the previous cycle, which has never happened before to this halving event, making forecasting the length of this cycle considerably more difficult. So standing back, as I said at the start, a significant change in trajectory, I expect markets to continue to go lower over the next few weeks. I suspect that the results season in the US will be underwhelming. And I also think that the geopolitical tensions will continue to bubble through. So wherever you look, there are risks abounding. And despite some still talking markets up, maybe it's time for a sharp intake of breath and a pause. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.